Okay. Hello. Many of you know me and I know you, and I have more than one hat that I wear. So one hat is an astronomer. I work at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, and I work with the Hubble Space Telescope program. And my research background is actually in radio astronomy, just like Deb Harsma here. So we have a similar research background and interest. But I also wear another hat with the AAAS, the American Association for the Advancement of Science. The AAAS publishes the journal Science that many of you are familiar with. They are the nation's largest scientific society, and as in that role, they're very concerned and interested in making sure that science has a broad public support and that the enterprise of science is done with integrity and success. And so there are many public outreach programs, including this one. For the last 2 years, I've been the director of this particular program. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about some background information about the program and a little bit about the activities that we are engaging upon and opportunities that I think could be of great interest to this organization and to you. So here we have some background information on the AAAS, founded in 1848, the world's largest general scientific society, representing millions of scientists worldwide and publishing science. So science is kind of the pride and joy of this organization. If you subscribe to science, you know that it comes relentlessly and without mercy every week. I cannot keep up with it, but that's reflective of how vibrant the enterprise of science, scientific endeavor is. The AAAS mission is to advance science, engineering, and innovation throughout the world for the benefit of all people. And so the little slogan that we have is advancing science and serving society. So the advancing science part is, you know, publishing the journal Science, lobbying to Congress for support of science and the integrity of science, the ethics of science, and so forth. Serving society, part of this mission is to make sure that the benefits of science reach all of humankind and that society is engaged and feels a part of the scientific process. And that's where outreach to different communities, including religious communities, comes in and fits into the AAAS mission. The AAAS, as you know, is not a religious organization by any stretch of the imagination. It's a secular scientific strong concern that they are relevant and helpful to all parts of society. So here's some of the AAAS goals: fostering communication among scientists and engineers and the public. You can read through these some of yourself, but there's a couple of these that are particularly of interest to engaging religious communities, including increasing public understanding and appreciation of science and technology, and enhancing the science and technology workforce. What happens if a large fraction of the U.S. public feels alienated from science unnecessarily because of religious misunderstandings, things like that? And also the final bullets of strengthening support for science and the technology enterprise. So many of these goals of the AAAS feed into a desire to engage positively with religious communities in the United States. Here's some of the things that the AAAS does regarding public engagement. They publish things like science updates and Eureka alerts for the public, science-interested public. They host family science days, public science days, outreach of various kinds, including, as you see in the middle there, the dialogue on science, ethics, and religion. So the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion, otherwise known as DOSER, which makes my husband laugh because he thinks it should be putting us all to sleep, the DOSER program is designed to facilitate communication and understanding between scientific and religious communities. And this program has been around for about 16 years now. I've only been the director the last 2 years, so there's been a series of directors and a series of projects, different ways of focusing this program over the years. And the last couple of years, when I came on board, the new focus of the program was to try to engage with more sort of grassroots public. In other words, not only have programs that are of interest to academics mostly and people in what we might call the intellectual elite who like to talk about science and religion from a more cerebral point of view, but also to engage more with the public at large and their interests in science and religion and ethics and so forth. So our projects are mainly geared toward trying to reach a broader audience, and I'll show you some examples of what we're doing. Why does this matter? Why would the public care about such big questions? Well, I don't think it takes much imagination in this group, but you can imagine how science impacts society in ways that also religious faith can touch the big questions that we have in society and how we respond to them as society. So things like, are we affecting the planet's temperature? How big is the universe? Could there be life on other planets? What's our relationship to this planet? What's the purpose of the universe? Is there a purpose? I mean, some of these are scientific questions. But then there are questions that kind of go beyond science as well. Like, what does it mean to be human? What separates us, if anything, from other animals? What does science tell me about being human? What do religious texts tell me about being human? And what do scientists know about human origins? These are questions that many people grapple with. What does neuroscience say about who I am? Do I have free will? Is love merely a chemical process? Do my thoughts determine my actions, or do my actions determine my thoughts? That's a big point of discussion right now. And how do things that we, religious activities that people engage in, such as prayer and meditation, how does that interact with the states of our minds and our brains? These are the kinds of questions that often come forward. And then there are questions as to the ethical uses of technology and science, and how we are using them in society today. All right, so we have our Dozer program. It's an interreligious program, so it's not specifically focused on Christianity, although since Christians are the largest percentage of religious believers in the U.S., there's often a heavier focus on the Christian religion than other religions as point of course during our various programs and public engagement activities. And, of course, earlier scientists thought discussing the aspect of religion in some source was important. Albert Einstein is invoked by people in every direction of the spectrum. So you can find a quote from Albert Einstein to support whatever it is you think about religion and science. So here's a quote that's, you know, more sort of positive toward, you know, all religions, arts, and sciences are branches of the same tree, and these aspirations are all directed toward ennobling man's life, lifting it from the sphere of mere physical existence and leading the individual towards freedom. Okay. And Kant, the philosopher, said that two things continued to fill his mind with ever-increasing awe and admiration, the starry heavens above him and the moral law within him. So in his mind, it was, you know, the observations of the universe as well as the observations of our moral senses within us that gave him a really ever-increasing sense of wonder. All right, I'm going to try to get through the Alfred North Whitehead. When we consider what religion is for mankind and what science it is no exaggeration to say that the future course of history depends upon the decision of this generation as to the relations between them. Well, I think you could say right now, if you've spent much time on the internet reading the blogs and things about religion and science, that the relation between them is not at all clear or peaceful right now. There's so much discussion, but it does show that there's much vigor and interest in the relationship of these fields. So what are we doing? We started, our goal is to create a more positive dialogue and understanding, not necessarily agreement, but understanding between scientific communities and the scientific community's concerns and interests and religious communities and their concerns and interests regarding science. We had what I call a kickoff event, although, like I say, the program is 16 years old, so it was really a launch event for when I started with this new focus of the program. And we just talked about what are the concerns that religious communities have about science, and what could scientists do better to relate to religious communities. And who better to talk about that than some religious scientists, in part. So we found some terrific conversants in this topic. Bill Phillips, a physicist, Nobel laureate, dedicated Christian to speak, as well as Howard Smith, an astrophysicist and a popular writer and speaker on Judaism and science. And then we had Rick Potts, who directs a very interesting exhibit in the Museum of Natural History, the Human Origins Program. He spoke, and David Anderson on the right there is a local pastor who's trying very hard to build bridges between communities, whether it's racial communities or different economic communities, so forth, and building communities within his church to try to help bring people together. And so he talked about some of the bridge building that needs to be constructed between religious people, in particular evangelical Christians, and the scientific community. So this was a very interesting conversation. It's all online, by the way. If you go to our website, you can watch the whole conversation from that event. We have three focus areas that we are working on right now. So let me show you some of them, and we'll have more focus areas in the future. One is a sort of broadly defined area of supporting scientists, developing resources that will help scientists address public interest and concern about scientific advancement and its implications. You know, a lot of scientists are not intentionally hostile toward religious people or religion, even if they themselves are not religious, but they don't realize when they're talking in their classrooms or in a public audience that they may be using words, phrases, they may be saying things in ways that are being heard differently by their audience than they intend. And so a lot of scientists actually come to us and say, can you help me understand why, for example, I've been talking, you know, teaching in my science class for an entire semester, and my A students, two of them are doing great work, they can get all the questions right, and then at the end of the semester they come up and tell me they didn't believe a word I said. What did I do wrong, you know? So, you know, these are the kinds of things, they're missing some of the concerns that people in their audience have about the science, and they want help with that. So we're trying to do that. We're developing resources, information for scientists about religious people's views on science in order to enable them to engage more productively. We started a community dialogue program online where people from the community can write essays about different aspects of science and religion and how they interrelate. We're trying to build better working relationships between scientists at universities and other societies with religious sectors. We have public events at the AAAS that kind of help in this desire to bring scientists and interested religious people in the community together. And so one of them was a lecture event by Elaine Howard Eklund on the left, a sociologist from Rice University who's done a major survey of scientists to discover what their own spirituality and religious beliefs. And she published this in a book called Science Versus Religion, What Scientists Really Think. And it's a great book. I encourage you to read this and find out her survey results, because she really did a really in-depth study of what the distribution of beliefs that scientists have regarding their own spirituality, which is sometimes not reflected in some of the more popular literature out there. That's Barbara Bradley Haggerty on the right, who was mentioned earlier today in one of our plenary sessions, who was our respondent to that event, and she did a terrific job. And that's Alan Leshner in the center, who's the CEO of the AAAS. The leadership of the AAAS is extremely supportive of our dialogue program because they see the importance of science being a positive influence and force in people's lives, including the religious public. We had a lecture at the end of this past year by a lecture event with two scientists with different perspectives on whether science really could explain everything. Ian Hutchinson from MIT talking about his view that science wrongly interpreted can become scientism, and that can be harmful to science. And Lisa Randall from Harvard University talking a little bit more with a little bit more confidence that science should be able to address most issues that are often now ascribed to religion. Although there was some room in both of them for conversation about these things. It was an interesting event. Again, it's online if you'd like to hear what they have to say. our goal is not to answer these questions, but to create a civil discourse environment so that people, scientists and others, learn how to have or relearn how to have positive conversations on the role of science in society. And I think this event, a standing room only event, shows that it can be done. We explore other things, like whether there's life on other worlds. This was a panel event we held at a AAAS meeting with members of different religious groups and public groups talking about what would happen, how would society respond if we found life on other planets. Not so far-fetched now that we're finding thousands of exoplanets or candidates for exoplanets outside our own solar system. And I'm just going to speed through these. We had another event in Vancouver where we talked about things that go on in science classrooms to help teachers talk to each other about how to deal with difficult questions that come up from religious students in their science classrooms, not just evolution, questions about other things like the nature of science, climate change, discovery of planets and things outside our solar system, neuroscience and free will, genetics, things like that. And I thought that was productive as well as a conversation. And I invite you to next year's annual AAAS meeting, which will be in Boston. And our Dozer program will, for the first time in history, have three special symposia and a reception. One is on brain-machine interfaces. One symposium will be on how scientists and religious communities can work together for environmental stewardship and care. And then one on synthetic biology. So these should be very interesting symposia, and I hope that you'll make plans to attend. All right, we have a second focus area, which is on science and theological education. So this is our effort in cooperation with the Association of Theological Schools to help seminaries bring science more into the core curriculum of education for future pastors. Because many people look to their pastors, their religious leaders, for advice on everything, including science advice, more so than they would trust scientists, unfortunately, in some cases. But we need pastors and clergies who are confident and well-educated about science so that they can positively engage their congregations in discussions regarding science. So this will take many years to show impact, but we are working with these seminaries now to bring science into their core curricula and not just in elective courses, which is the case in most seminaries now. With improved communication tools and understanding between scientific institutions and seminaries, that's one thing we're trying to do, is to create bridges between seminaries and science institutions. Seminaries can be equipped to keep up with modern science and to understand the conversation. And again, the idea here is to help eventually, through the professors, help the students, who will eventually become religious leaders, congregations of their own, be better equipped to talk about science and the relevance of science in their congregations. We've had a couple of workshops preparing for the launch of this project where we brought seminary leaders, current pastors, seminary students, and scientists together to talk about what are the roadblocks to bringing science into seminary education and what needs to be done. And we took some of these folks on some tours of scientific institutions, or at least brought scientists in to talk to them about forefront science. Here's a group that came to us in Washington and visited the Human Origins Museum exhibit in the Natural History Museum in Washington. And that was, of course, food for thought of, you know, what are they seeing there, and then how does it relate to what they're learning in seminary? Of course, we don't, again, the idea here is not to provide answers. We're here listening for their questions. What are the questions that they face in seminary and in their congregations? So this is an example of a workshop that we held with pastors and other representatives of seminaries and scientists to talk about how to go forward with this project. We also brought in neuroscientists and an astrophysicist, that would be me, to talk about forefront issues in different science fields. And that was much appreciated because many times if science is discussed in seminary, it's discussed in a very cerebral way, science and religion, science and theology. But what about the actual scientific discoveries that are going on right now? What's different this year than last year? That kind of thing. That's often lost. And so kind of building bridges between seminaries and science institutions can help to build this, rebuild these relationships. Okay, I'm going to skip through some of this because I want to get through the third theme. So we've been preparing this project for quite some time, and we're about to launch it for real. The third theme is science and evangelical Christianity. So my closing time here, I want to discuss this theme just a little bit. Our main, one of the major areas of focus that I was asked to help develop when I came to this program was to develop a better understanding between the scientific community and evangelical Christians. In fact, my interview for the directorship slot here was, they asked me about, you know, tenderly about some of my own familiarities with different religious groups and so forth. And, you know, I kind of explained to them my own background. And that was the first time I'd been in a scientific interview where the fact that I was comfortable being in evangelical circles, and in fact that I personally am an evangelical Christian, was seen as a major plus, you know. A real strength. And so, they see that evangelical Christians are a significant percentage of religious people in the public, and that evangelicals often have a strong interest in public policy. They're, evangelicals can be well-educated, interested in public policy, but often have significant concerns about science. So how can we work with this community in a more productive and positive way? All right, so we kind of launched some of this discussion with an interesting and controversial, in a good way, a panel discussion at one of the AAAS annual meetings about evangelical science and policy, and the subtitle, Toward a Constructive Engagement. There are many people who thought that this was impossible, but we talked about some of the hot-button issues and what kinds of issues that evangelicals and scientists had worked well on in the past, which includes some evangelical initiatives on environmental stewardship. Richard Cizik talked about that. We had some discussion about stem cell research and the problems that have never been surpassed in that conversation. We talked about potential future issues that may be confronting the public policy and engage both religious people and scientists, and neuroscience always seems to come to the forefront there. Bill Newsom gave a great presentation on that. Jim McCarthy talked about the environmental issues as well. So that was an interesting conversation. We've recently launched a new major program to study the perceptions that religious people, well, they're supposed to say religious people, in particular, evangelical Christians have toward science and scientists, and the perceptions, likewise, that scientists have regarding evangelicals. So this is, when we started looking into this focus area, we began meeting with the leadership of the National Association of Evangelicals, and we were trying to decide, you know, what should we do to foster a positive relationship between scientists and evangelicals? Should we hold a major workshop? Should we write a major book? Should we, you know, what things should we do? And after a while, as we talked together, we realized, and particularly the NAE leadership said, we don't even know what evangelicals really think about scientists. So how can we launch programs and conferences and all that if we have no idea what evangelicals at depth really think about science and scientists, what their concerns really are? That led to the development of a major survey proposal. So what we're doing with this project first, for the first year, is to launch a major survey of the religious public, in particular evangelicals, but other religious groups as well, to find out what they really think, what their interests and concerns are about scientists and science. Is it particular science issues, or are they worried about a worldview package that comes with the science, this kind of thing? And then likewise, what do scientists think about religion and religious people, particularly evangelicals? We're doing this in cooperation with Dr. Elaine Howard Eklund from Rice University, who did the previous survey of scientists' spiritual beliefs. She's interested in doing the study of multiple religions. After we get the data, we're interested in focusing on outreach events to evangelicals after we get the data. So phase two is after we do the survey and focus groups and so forth, we will host a series of workshops to work with this data, whatever we learn, workshops with leaders in the evangelical and science communities to put this data to good use. And then we'll develop resources, booklets, and other materials based on these workshops and conferences that can be disseminated for use by evangelical church leaders, pastors, and scientists nationwide, even worldwide. So this is a major, major project that we're just starting. It will be focusing on this for the next 3 years. And we may be employing some of you for our advisory groups and so forth, so focus groups, so stay tuned. As I close here, please feel free to browse our Dozer website. We have a great website. We have also a Facebook presence. And all of this, let me just get out of here for a second to show you. There's the website. All of this due to the fact that we've had a terrific staff person who's helped us update all this. Is Faith, I don't know if Faith Tucker is in the room. There she is. So there's Faith. So Faith has done a terrific job getting us sort of on the map in terms of the web, Facebook, and so forth. And so I'm real proud of that. And then we also have a new intern here, David Bowler, who's helping us with the Evangelical Project. So we're excited about that. One of the things you'll see on our website, when I know as soon as these sessions are over, you're going to run and look at our Dozer website immediately, you'll see opening for a senior program associate here. And in fact, there are two, when you link there, you'll actually, if you scroll a little bit, you'll see two positions advertised there. Let me go back into this presentation here. We are looking for two people, so I'm getting the word out now. We have an opening for a senior program associate to work with us on this evangelical project. And so we need somebody who has a science degree of some kind, but also familiarity with evangelicals who can help us in many aspects of this program. And we need a program associate, a communications associate, to help us in general, not only with the evangelicals, but with everything we do, with our website, Facebook, communications issues, and to develop them and to be another spokesperson for our program. Faith is sad for us, but great for her. She's moving to a teaching position in Vermont. So I'm getting the word out for you that we have openings that we're eager to fill. All right, I think with that, I think that's it. So thank you for your patience here. So I guess we'll leave you with this slide, which our Dozer program will never answer, but can theology and science come to the same conclusions? I think as Christians, we would believe that eventually they will, right? Because all truth is God's truth, so eventually these things will come together. It's all a pursuit of truth. And we're hoping with our Dozer program, while we're not a Christian program at all, we are a program to develop understanding and communication between scientists who may or may not be religious and different religions and religious communities, but we're hoping to develop a more positive and constructive interaction between these groups. And there's, because this program has such positive support right now from the AAAS, it's an open door for us to try to do something through this program of great benefit, I hope, for society at large. And your participation, as much as you can be a part of this, is much appreciated. So with that, I will open it up if there's any time for questions. So, okay.
My sort of stereotype-filled mind, I can imagine that with both your seminary thing and your evangelical thing, there would be moderate evangelical places, Calvin Seminary, Fuller Seminary, that would say great, wonderful, and that there would be other places, say Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, that would say, get thee behind me, Satan. Have you had that sort of variety in response, or is it too early to tell?
The response is always positive, and let me tell you why. We're not going into anybody's seminary to tell them what their theology ought to be. Okay, so we are scientists. We're this scientific organization. What we offer is scientists and scientific resources that these organizations can use as they see fit. You know, there may be in some cases where where the scientific community might not actually appreciate how some of this material is being used or whatnot, but that's something that we're not in there to do. Those places that would really be kind of hostile to this just don't they just aren't engaging with us. But there are many places that actually really want to foster a more positive embracing of scientific knowledge within their own theological tradition and focus. And it's those folks that we have the best chance of being a help to. So now the seminary education project, we haven't started yet. We've done these focus groups. We've gathered information. We're building the project. It's pretty mature. But what's going to happen, the plan is that we're going to offer seminaries a chance to propose to us to be pilot schools for this seminary project. So we would have several seminaries from three different what we call ecclesial families. One would be the Catholic, one would be more conservative Protestant, and one would be more liberal Protestant. And then from those ecclesial families, those seminaries would propose how they intend to incorporate science better into their core curriculum courses. They would come up, after a year of working with us on this, they would come up with example syllabi, things like that. What we would provide is simply science resources. They would figure out how it fits into their own curriculum. So yeah, this is tricky, and so some folks will just really not appreciate the science materials that we provide, and so, you know, not everyone will be happy. But I think we could reach a great deal of folks kind of in the middle somewhere with our materials, and they can incorporate it into their own theology as they see fit. So now the evangelical work, right now we're just at the stage of launching a survey. We're asking them, so we're going to find out what people think, what their concerns are. You know, it may turn out that what people are really interested in is, you know, if I send my child to college, and are they going to lose their faith when they go to their science classroom? You know, more so than worrying about specifically what the scientific data is that's taught in the classroom, they're worried about maybe the larger worldview that's being taught there. Or, you know, if I am supportive of science, does that mean I'm supporting medical technologies that I find ethically questionable and things like that? So we're going to find out. So hopefully next year's ASA meeting, I will propose to give a talk on the results of the survey. And won't that be interesting? Yeah.
Maybe one more question. And Deb, could you maybe try to transition while we're having this question, if that's okay? Yeah, go ahead.
Jennifer, the thing with these surveys, I'm not accusing you yet, but if you read these things, and they list 45% of scientists believe in God they can pray to. It has so much to do with how you write the question.
Oh, yes. Amen to that. Yes.
The question is, what are you going to ask? How are you going to find your population
of evangelicals? So that's the key question. So all the polls I've done before are ask religious people, you know, do you believe in God or do you believe in evolution? You know, check A or B, right? Right? Or, you know, scientists, the same thing. Do you believe in that the scientific method is valid, or do you believe that you need to turn to God? You know, well, you know, check A or B. You know, so it's sort of, you know, none of those things give you any useful information. So the idea here is to develop a really in-depth 60-question survey that's been heavily researched. We have an advisory committee that has experts in public surveys, statistics, science and religion, who are advising us on the whole survey process. And then how do you get the population? That's why we're collaborating with Elaine Howard Eklund, because she's an expert in this, to do a general population survey. And then to get enough scientists in that survey, which is hard to do, we will oversample in regions of the country where there is an overpopulation of scientists, so we get enough scientists in that survey. And we'll ask the scientists slightly different questions. So yeah, that's the key to the whole thing. I mean, you're absolutely right. If we don't ask the right questions and get the right and ask the right people, then the information is not useful. So that's something that we're paying special attention to. Remember, we've been planning these things that I just discussed. I've been there for 2 years of planning. So that's how much care is going into this before we're actually starting to launch these projects. So.
All right.
All right.